Good morning, church. It is Camping Sunday, and it was either in the bulletin or announced to wear camping clothes, so I'm in my blue jeans, if you haven't noticed. And I am comfy. I hope you are as well. You know, we were having a conversation the other day that, you know, occasionally I get people will say to me, "Oh, David, do you mind if I show up in this kind of dress, you know, not a suit and tie?" And I says, "No, I don't really care how you come. It's important that you do come." And, you know, part of our old tradition, or those of you that are beyond baby boomer age, you always wore your best. But I'm convinced today that when God wants us to bring our best, it's internally, not necessarily externally, that is of far greater importance. But what a great day it is to be in God's house, to be a part of God's kingdom, as we come together this day celebrating not only the baptism of Jesus Christ, but our baptisms as well. So may the presence of Christ rest upon us today and every day as we seek faithfully to live out within the kingdom. May the peace of Christ be with you. Let's rise and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbor.
Good morning. I want to draw your attention to a few announcements. One is Super Bowl Sunday is February 2nd. We will celebrate Super Bowl Sunday at our church. If you would like to donate soup or other non-perishable items, toiletries, or baby items, the shopping cart will be in the narthex during both services next Sunday. Also, a very important one here, today after the service is the unhanging of the greens. We would appreciate any help that you could provide. Many hands make light work, and this could be done rather quickly. Are there any other announcements? I also want to mention that Fellowship Night is going to be a luau. It's January 15th in the gym at 6:30. I'm going to pass the pad around for sign up. If you could make sure that it crosses over and then gets back up here, I'd appreciate it.
Thank you.
Please stand for our call to worship. Come, servants of God. Come, servants of love. Come, followers of Christ. Let us pray. Spirit of God, descend upon us this day. Bless us with your presence, that we may know you more fully, and bless others with your love and grace. Guide us on this covenant journey, that we may bring sight to the blind and release to the captives. Renew us with the breath of new life, that we may live as children of love and seekers of justice. Amen. Let us now sing, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing.
And kids, come on up. Good morning, everyone. How are you? Everybody have a great week? You didn't have school a few days because of the cold? Pretty slick.
Windy.
Yeah. Have a seat, buddy. Today is a special day to deal with camping. Did you ever go camping? Yes. Did you sleep in a tent?
I did. No.
No? In a tent? I've slept in a tent. How about a camper? Yeah. I've slept in a camper. How about in a cabin?
Yeah.
Yep. I've slept in a cabin. And we have a special guest today, your grandma, that's going to talk to us about camping. This is Mrs. Saporito.
Hello. How many of you have gone to camp? Put your hand up. You went to a camp. Wow, that's pretty good. Well, you know, when you go to camp, you have to make preparations, right? It takes a lot of time to think about all the stuff you need to take to camp. And you always seem to forget something, don't you? Just like when you go on vacation. But you know, I'm looking up here, and you got to take a sleeping bag. You got to take a flashlight. You got to take some bug spray, because there's usually bugs at camp, aren't there? You got to take warm clothes. And you got to take shorts in case it's hot some days. You have to take the right proper shoes, you know, if you go hiking. And you know, it's so much
fun.
Rain gear. That's really
always
important.
Always take rain gear.
That's really important. Yeah.
Not reindeer.
And it's good sometimes to have a backpack, you know, that we can put our water in and bug spray and things like that. So it's good to have one of these. Ireland, there was something here that we had in our backpack. And what was this? Can you tell the people, like, what do you use this for? Do you remember?
Uh-huh. Tell them what it is.
You use it so you can take a bath.
I was amazed that my granddaughters knew nothing about a shower cap. They never saw one or heard of this before, and every night we forgot our hair dryer, so we didn't wash our hair every night, only every other night. So I had them put
a
shower cap on.
Didn't need one.
And they just had more fun with the shower cap because they had never seen one before, huh? Hayden thought that was hysterical. But we had fun with that. But you can also use them if you get your rain gear. You can put one on it. Keeps your head dry, right? Well, anyway, the other thing I wanted to talk about today, if you've gone to camp, you've all seen a campfire, of course. And you know, when you go to camp, you make a lot of new friends, don't you? Because friends come from near and far. All the kids are different. They have different backgrounds. That's what's really neat about camp. And you know, when you look at that fire, all the logs are different, aren't they? Some are small, some are big. They all come from different trees. But when they're all together, they serve one purpose, huh? To keep the fire going, keep it burning. Yeah, and that's what's neat about friendship, too. When you go to camp, I know we played a lot of games at camp that it takes everybody, a lot of teamwork. There were times that we had a chore to do in the dining hall. Do you remember that, Ireland? What did we have to do in the dining hall?
Help get ready for the next meal.
We had table setters, and everybody had their jobs. And then we had this one game we played where we were all on a log. The leader said, okay, everybody come over here and sit on this long log, or stand on this long log. And so we did. And then, what did she say? Now we have to do some teamwork. You have to get in order according to your birthday. So all the January people had to be down there instead of in the middle. So that was one time I wished my birthday was January or December. But no, mine's in June. So I was smack in the middle. So you had to be standing up and go around all the people. Remember that, Ireland? We had to stay on the log and get by people so that we were in order according to our birthday. And that was kind of tough. But your friends had to hold you on. If you fell off the log, then you were kind of out. So that was a little bit of teamwork. And you know what? When we went to the fire one night, we read a book. And who can read here? What's the title of this book?
What's it called?
You Big Bums.
You Bums, it's called. And I thought, oh my goodness, where is he going with this book? Well, this book, I'm not going to read it to you, but it's really a neat book. And it talks about a group of friends that were out playing soccer, baseball, basketball together. One day they were playing baseball, and the one kid hit a fly ball, and guess where it landed? In Mr. Lawson's, through his window.
Crash.
How many of you have had that happen? Did you ever throw a ball through a window? Anyway, Mr. Lawson wasn't real happy about that. And in fact, he was kind of an old cranky guy. And he came out and he said to the kids, you kids are a bunch of bums. And he went back in his house storming. He was mad. So the kids all got together and they thought, you know what, this isn't right. We need to make this right with Mr. Lawson. We broke his window. So they all got together and they all got their old toys that they didn't play with anymore. And they took them to the church sale and they made money on their toys. And with that money they made, they replaced Mr. Lawson's window, which was very nice. Well, Mr. Lawson looked out and saw his window replaced and he said, it's a miracle. And the one little boy said, you know what? You're right. We are miracles. Because BUMS actually stands for beautiful, unrepeatable miracles. In other words, we're beautiful people, unrepeatable. God made us each special and different, and we are miracles. So Mr. Lawson said, you know what? You're right. So that's a neat book if anybody wants to borrow that. Anybody have a camp story or something you want to tell me? What did you like the very best about camp?
The swimming pool.
Oh, yeah, the swimming pool.
The marshmallows.
Marshmallows. Ooh.
I know Ireland liked when we had brownies and s'mores at the fire right before bed. Do you ever get s'mores and brownies before bed at home? Not too often, huh? You know my old saying, what happens at camp stays at camp. We don't let mom and dad know exactly what all we ate before, you know, going to bed at camp. How about your worst experience? Did anybody have anything bad happen that they kind of want to forget about? Anything bad happen at camp? Not usually, huh? I remember one thing, though. The outdoor latrines. You remember that, Ireland? You weren't too big on that. I don't like them either. You had something?
I almost got hit over a car.
You almost got hit with a car at camp? Ooh. Yeah, you got to really be careful at camp. You know. And there's a lot of safety rules at camp. So you have to, you know, listen to all the rules that the leaders have. But all in all, it's really a fun time. So I would encourage every one of you today, we're going to talk a little bit more about camp. I'll tell your parents and grandparents. And after church, I'm going to be back in the parlor, and we can discuss any questions that you might have or your parents might have. So,
okay. My mom made marshmallow s'more casserole.
She did. S'mores are back in the parlor, and her mommy helped me make some of those. So make sure you get some of those. Okay, you want to get ready for a closing prayer?
Let's pray. Gracious God, we are thankful for these boys and girls, and for all of those who care for them, for all of those perhaps who will be with them at camp this coming summer. We pray that they will continue to live and grow. Bless them and all those who care for them, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, let me give some cups today. Where are they hiding? Around the corner. How about if we give one of the moms to help pass these out?
Okay, while the kids are coming around, I'm just going to highlight a few things about the three Methodist camps. Some of you are very familiar with the camp, some of you are not. The first camp I'm going to talk a little bit about is called Wesley Woods. Wesley Woods is located in Grand Valley, PA, between Titusville and Youngsville, and it covers about 600 acres in Warren County. It's a very, very rustic camp with lots of adventurous camps to choose from. This is one camp that offers camp year-round. Some of the camps only have it through the summer months, but Wesley Woods has camps year-round. They offer horseback riding and fishing camps in the summer, and skiing and sled riding camps in the winter months. So that's good to keep in mind. The next camp we have is called Camp Allegheny. Some of you are familiar with Camp Allegheny. It's located near Somerset, PA, straight up Route 30. It was started in 1949, and like Wesley Woods, it is somewhat rustic and offers a lot of different horse camps. They have their own horse and pony programs, and they purchase their own horses. Their horses are not leased. Horse camps have been so popular that they have recently built new pony barns, safety trails, and a challenge trail course. They have also been given permission to use part of Flight 93 land for horse riding trails. There's a small petting zoo with pigs, goats, sheep, and donkeys, if you're an animal lover. A lot of youth groups and adult groups are encouraged to go to Camp Allegheny for retreats. So it's not just for camping, it's for retreats. They hold all kinds of different retreats. It was interesting to hear about some of the youth retreats that they have. Things have changed so much since I went on youth retreats. They have what's called a human hamster ball, and we actually got to see this in action. It's a giant ball that you climb into, and you roll through the gymnasium in this ball, upside down and every which way, so I can only imagine that. And then they have a new Velcro wall, so you can just plunk your, you know, friend on the wall, stick your friend to the wall, Velcro wall. They have a laser tag and a black light volleyball and dodgeball. So can you imagine playing volleyball and dodgeball in the blacklight? Kind of a little scary to me, but I'm sure the youth would love it. And if you love to crochet and knit, I have to tell our knitting circle ladies about this one. They have a retreat for the ladies, and it's called Chicks with Sticks. And it should be called Armed and Dangerous. But anyway, they have an adventure camp where they actually do tree climbing. And it is similar to the rock climbing. We kind of saw this while we were there, too. And it's you wear a belt, harness, and a helmet. And they actually have the little pegs on the trees, you know, instead of on the rock that they can climb. So it's kind of a neat thing. Their dining hall, as well as some of their lodges, were recently remodeled. And for 2014, they are offering some new camps, a pottery camp and a leathercraft camp. So if you enjoy that kind of stuff, that's going to be available. Jamonville is our third camp to talk about, and it is nestled on the outskirts of Hopwood, PA, in the Uniontown-Connellsville area, probably the closest camp to us here. The giant cross of Christ will greet you before you ever get there. Jamonville's not as rustic as the other two, with lodges and the Jamonville Inn, which is really like a hotel, if any of you have ever stayed there. That's where our church ladies had their fall retreat, and we plan to go again. We really had a good time. There are so many camps to choose from throughout the summer. Jamonville probably offers the most diversified, you know, camps. I mean, there's basically a camp for everything you like to do. They have adventure camps, discovery camps, sports camps, all different kinds of sports, art camps, dance camps, and family camps. All three of my kids attended CAT camp, which was called Creative Arts Thing, from the time they were of age to go up through the seniors in high school, and they loved it. They still have friends that they contact, and they get together for like a little alumni thing and, you know, go back and visit with their friends that they've made. They look forward to it year after year. Let's see, my favorite camp is called Grandparent and Me Camp. I went for the first time last year, took my two granddaughters. And they can be the grandparent can be of any age, but the children need to be from ages 5 to 9. So all you grandparents out there, it's a wonderful camp to get them started. It's just a mini camp from a Sunday to a Wednesday, and had a great time. It's actually, how far away is that, Ireland? We talked about that the other day. Little less than 7 months away, isn't it? I think so, because it's in August. Actually, it's 202 more days, and I'm not, you know, counting down the days. I think my husband is. But anyway, I'm really looking forward to it. It was a lot of fun. So anyway, I hope that you all consider, you know, some type of camp. There's camps for everyone. There's a lot of information back in the parlor. The only other thing I wanted to talk about is how can we afford to go to camp? Did you have something to say?
I will, but keep
okay, going. Okay. I know what he's going to say. Get ready. How can you afford to go to camp? As you know, all the camps have gone up in price, like everything else. But I just want you to know that any child can attend camp that wants to go. There's no financial problem that way. There are church campership funds for those that need financial aid, and there are campership donations that are given by individuals at each of these three camps. And that can be used as needed. These monies are actually designated for the cause Kids to Camp. So please make sure you look into that if, you know, need be. Camp brochures are available, will be available in the next few weeks. I have a few in the parlor, but they're not, you know, they're in the midst of printing them now. And so I will get those distributed. You can start the process by registering your camper online or call the camp that they wish to attend, and financial forms will be sent to you. All of this information is kept confidential. Our church financial secretary will provide you with help from our church campership fund, which is normally about 30% of the total cost of camp. So our church gives that portion. The United Methodist Women have also been very generous over the past few years, and they provide camp money to every camper that is registered in our church. Parents and grandparents can also purchase gift certificates. I mentioned this in the bulletin in the past, that's the way I kind of worked it. I got Ireland and Hayden a gift certificate for Christmas, for birthday, and for Easter, and that was put towards their campership. So you could do that any time of the year. If you're not able, in order to build up our church's campership fund, today we are taking a special offering to put into our camp account. And if you can donate to that, please put monies in a special offering envelope and just mark it camp funding. And I know Christmas is just, you know, behind us, so if you can't financially donate today, that's fine. We are going to start something. It's called an outreach partnership project, and it's with a mission partner from our conference center. And this is something new this year, and I really think it's a great idea. The project's called Clean Closets for Campers. A large bin will be situated in one room of our church, and where you can donate any gently used clothing, shoes, purses, belts, and hats from your closets that you don't wear anymore. And once collected, the mission partner will come to our church, pick up the donation, weigh them, and give us a check for 50% of the current market value of the goods to go towards our church's campership fund. So keep that in mind over the winter months when you're cleaning out. Put some clothes aside, and it'll help a good cause. So I'll have more details on this project coming up in the newsletter and also in the bulletin. I could tell you many, many stories about camp. If you ever want to just go on the webpage and see some of the things that parents have written, some of the things that, kids have written about their camp stories. There's actually a little a website you go to called Camp Stories, and you can read about them. And it's kind of a neat thing if you're deciding on one camp to go and read about that camp, what some of the other kids had to say about it. So it's really kind of interesting. And I know that Pastor David actually met Leanna at Jamonville. So he's probably going to tell some kind of story here.
Know when you go to camp who you're going to meet. Let me see. I have deaned a camp at Wesley Woods, a couple camps. I volunteered as a counselor for a couple camps at Allegheny, and I have deaned camps at Jamonville and worked there for 3 summers. It was there in 1981 that I met Leanna. And it was there that she asked me to marry her.
Whoa.
Now, the flip side of that story is she was engaged to another person and asked me to assist her father at the wedding. Now, just because turnabout's fair play, I was engaged as well at one point. And her story is that we knew each other for 7 years, and she would have married me 5 years earlier, but I was a little slow. So you never know when you send your kid away to camp who they're going to meet. Could just be that significant other. And so we held our breath in, what was it, 2011, when we sent Andrew to camp for the summer. He was a lifeguard there. But so far, you know, he's good.
We think.
But, you know, wonderful experiences. Knock on wood. Wonderful experiences there, that's for sure. And Abigail has been a camper there as well. And actually, I was to leave for Jamonville later on this afternoon. But because of a funeral, I'll announce later, I'm not leaving until tomorrow evening. And spend a couple days there.
Okay. Thanks for sharing. Maybe too much information, huh?
Sorry about that, Leanna.
Anyway, I hope all of you will stop in the parlor after church today, or after the service today. We have hot chocolate, we have coffee, we have s'mores, and we have bugs on a log. And if you don't know what they are, just come back and you can see what they are. If you have any questions, please see me or see my granddaughter, Ireland. She kind of knows all the answers to things. So, and one thing I wanted to share, when I was driving home from Jamonville one time, I said to Rocky, what was it that you liked the best about camp this week? And he said, well, Mom, did you know that you can actually sing Amazing Grace to the tune of Gilligan's Island? And I said, no, I didn't know. So we sang it on the way home. So thank you.
Turn in your hymnals, 378. We're going to do it. Verse 1 of Amazing Grace to the Gilligan's Island tune. Are you ready? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see.
I'll tell you what, I had some interesting camp experiences too with Bob Lewis, Jim Gascoigne, and Donna Weber. But I'm not going to go into those details, but you can ask her later in the parlor. Well, since some things have changed today, we're going to move the choir anthem to the offertory, and we're just going to go into the scripture reading right now. Today's scripture reading is from the book Isaiah, chapter 42, verses 1 through 9. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teachings. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. This is the word of the Lord.
The ushers will now wait upon us for God's tithes and our offerings.
Wait.
Holy God, we are reminded this morning, as we remember Christ's baptism, how you stooped to meet us eye to eye in Christ, reassuring us through your presence. So now, as we give our gifts to you, help us to see the faces of those who will look to us for a touch of compassion and love, our words of kindness, our arms of comfort, and our generous gifts. Meet us in the longing we have to hear your voice speak. This is my beloved child with whom I am pleased. We pray this in the name that is above all others, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Please be seated. We come to the time in our service when we want to lift up joys and concerns for situations in our midst. Wendell and Sarah, when's the actual date? Today, 63 years of marriage for Wendell and Sarah. Congratulations, and that's quite a tribute. We also, on hospitalized, Phyllis is home, but Ann got it right that time. You know, I have an Ann from my past in a church, and that's what, you know, sometimes you'd get that little mind thing going on. But they had to take Diane's mom to the hospital last evening, so she is in UPMC in Monroeville and would covet our prayers, I am sure. Also, as I mentioned earlier, to remember Margaret Smouse passed away. Margaret is the sister to Shirley Cooper and Virginia Ives. Her visitation will be at the Snyder Funeral Home today from 6 until 8, and then her services will be tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So I'm sure that both of those individuals would covet your prayers as well. Also to remember, I have here to remember Bobby in prayer, and Mary passed away yesterday, and that is the sister of Ruth. So we'll want to continue to remember that family as well. Are there any other joys or concerns this morning? Yes.
I'd like to ask prayers for the family. Just a few days ago, Bill, a dear friend of mine and co-worker, advisor with the Order of De Molay, passed away, and his family needs to be kept in our prayers.
Okay. Anyone else? Then let us unite our hearts and our spirits as we sing together number 252, When Jesus Came to Jordan.
Jordan.
Our gracious and loving God, you are the one who was, who is, and who will forever be. And you are the one, O God, that we seek to guide, to direct. We covet most that gift of direction. For we know, O God, that life is filled with choices. And sometimes we don't make those right choices. Sometimes those individuals around us don't make right choices. Relationships are cracked. Marriages can crumble. Lives are in a turmoil. And, O God, then we must begin to patch up and to repair and to put pieces back together. O God, we know that you are the one who is the great physician. You are the one who can heal all things. You are the one, O God, who comes and meets us where we are, but seeks to lift us up out of that place so that we might be changed and transformed and become that that you have created and intend us to be. Oh God, may we hear these words. Oh God, we come today as your people knowing that there's a sense of peace and comfort within these walls of your home. And that outside these walls, life is tough. We are called and pushed and pulled in a multitude of directions, and sometimes it's just so noisy that we can't even discern your voice. Oh God, we pray that in the midst of it all, that all of the other noise of our daily lives and living, that it might fade to the background and that we might discern and hear your voice and your spirit. Words that seek to comfort and to guide and to direct us in our daily lives and living. For you, O God, have called, you, O God, have claimed each and every one of us. And you seek for us to be faithfully blooming where it is that we are planted. O God, we pray that we might be used in the midst of wherever it is that we are found. O God, we pray for the hurts and the needs, for the joys and the celebrations that have been voiced today, the names of individuals on our prayer list, the names of individuals that have been voiced today, the situations upon our hearts. Oh God, we know that you are the one who has spoken and all that is has come into being. Your Son, Jesus Christ, reached out and touched, or others touched him, or there was some other avenue that was used as a healing agent, but lives were changed and transformed and made new. Even today, O God, we pray for that healing presence in the lives of your people. Continue, O God, to confirm the call that is within each and every one of us, that faithfully this week we might go forth into the world, that we might live and share and proclaim this good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our King. For it's in his holy and precious name that we ask and pray, as we share together in the prayer Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Last Sunday, I was sharing with you that indeed there were some changes brewing in the corners, and that some announcements were being made, and it was announced that our new district superintendent, her name is Pat Nelson, and Pat is currently serving in the Butler District at the First United Methodist Church in Butler, where I believe they have a Saturday night service. They have two or three services today, and I think the last I heard, they worship totally somewhere in the neighborhood of 800 to 1,000 members. And so Pat is going to become our district superintendent. Leanna and I are excited because Pat and her husband Paul are friends of ours. So it'll be nice to have the two of them here. Paul, I don't believe he does it anymore, but he used to square dance with a tractor. I mean, not a little yard tractor, but one of these big farm tractors that if you were watching the farm show this week, you probably, I think they still do that, and you might have seen that. Paul Taylor is the other district superintendent that's been named, and he will be going into the Pittsburgh district for that pastor is retiring there. And people have said, what's William going to do? What church is William going to? William is not going to a church. William has a great appointment. He is the new district super, or the new assistant to the bishop. And so that position was opened up when Bob Higginbotham passed. That was this fall. And so Leanna's dad actually is in that position right now. He had that position for a few years before Bob went into that. And so William will be there and will still sit around the appointment table where he will have voice and vote. And so we are just ecstatic about that because that is a great place for him to be. So continue to remember those individuals. Those two district superintendents that were named Sunday were thrown right into it. Cabinet met Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at Olmsted, and they were there. So they are in the thick of the appointment season that is already, it has already begun. So each week, probably now on, changes in lives will be made. I've instructed William to remove my name from any and every list that comes up. I don't know if you agree with that, but tough. That's where I am. So, you know, as far as we're concerned, we will try to hold that off as long as possible. And thank God that Abby's in 10th grade, because I've assured her that I will do my best to deny every move to keep her in Penn Trafford School District until she graduates. It'll probably work best if I don't stand in a pulpit today because it'll go longer. And the service is going to be a little long anyways today. So let's stand as we hear the gospel for us today from Matthew. Beginning in the third chapter with verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by John. John would have prevented him saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented, and when Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we've heard wonderful news today from Isaiah, from Matthew, and we pray that your Spirit will rest upon each and every one of us. Give us a sense of peace and rest from the activities of daily life and living those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable, O God, with you, our rock and our redeemer.
where we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. It's my understanding that the River Jordan right now is nothing more than a bacteria-infested stream of water. On the Israeli side, the government has forbid anyone from going into the waters because it is that dirty. Kind of like being in Charleston, West Virginia right now. You don't want to touch the water. If you're on the Jordanian side, though, the government there has made allowances for those pilgrims that still want to come and to be re-immersed in the River Jordan, but they highly discourage it. One person said, if you have a cut on your body and you go into the water, you're probably going to develop a rash if you're lucky. It's probably going to be worse than that. Being baptized or someone renewing their baptismal vow in the River Jordan right now is incredibly dangerous to do. But think about it. Baptism is dangerous. Baptism is dangerous. We realize and have heard the words that when Jesus came up out of the waters, the dove descended upon him and he heard the words, "This is my son and I am pleased with him." And in one of the Gospels then, the next scene is Jesus is in the wilderness, in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. He's hungry, and in the end, he's being tempted. Satan is tempting Jesus to take the easy way, to take the way of power, to take the way of prestige. And Jesus says, absolutely not. And Jesus came and continued to live among us and to minister to those individuals that society really says, leave them alone. Jesus went to the poor, to the outcast, to the least, to the lost, to the lonely, in the terms of the disciple Bible study. And for those who were in positions of power, they didn't like the ministry of Jesus and they sought to get rid of him. They didn't like who was being invited to become a part of the kingdom. They didn't like who Jesus was socializing and fellowshipping with. Baptism is dangerous because it marks a person as a disciple of Jesus Christ, and we then have a responsibility to that call. I believe that the majority of us, if not all of us here this morning, have been baptized as well. Friday, I was with the Board of Ordained Ministry, and we were interviewing five or six candidates that are either recent seminary graduates or are halfway through their seminary career, and they were seeking to be commissioned as provisional elders within the United Methodist Church. My team was question 13, 14, 15. 13 was dealing with the quadrilateral of John Wesley, which deals with tradition, scripture, scripture, tradition, reason, experience. Got those. The second question was dealing with the sacraments. In the United Methodist Church, how many sacraments do we have? Are you asking or telling me to? It is two indeed, and they are baptism and communion, just two. The only reason we have two is because those are the only two that Jesus did. Someone said, why don't we have washing of feet as a sacrament? Don't know, because we know that was a significant event in John's gospel at the Last Supper. The third question I dealt with, what is the primary mission of the church today, and how are you fulfilling that? Easy questions to deal with. So there was a total of 16 questions, and we just had those three. But what is baptism? I was thinking about that time. You know, you've heard that story about the woman that shared with the younger girl that baptism was a tattoo upon one's heart. The marking of a child. It's a marking of an adult for things that are greater and bigger than we can do alone. Baptism is the claiming of that child or that person as God's child and calling them into the mission and ministry that Jesus himself was a part of. And that, my friends, for us even today is dangerous. Because God has a call and a claim upon our lives even today. And that means that God's going to call us to be engaged in mission and ministry that probably is not popular with society. Because society says to get what you can. Take advantage of individuals. Be affluent. Be powerful. Go for the gusto. And yet Jesus says, humbly walk in the midst of people.
Be generous. Be giving. Go to those that society pushes off to the fringes and says, we don't want to deal with you. And that makes then the presence of baptized believers who have heard and yielded to that call as something that people are uncomfortable with to have in their midst. Yes, baptism indeed is dangerous because it calls us to go forth into the world that God seeks even still today to change, to transform, and to make new. God invites us even today to be a part of that, to change this world and to make it a part of God's kingdom through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our gracious and loving God, you do have a call and a claim upon our lives. It began at our baptisms with that marking. When at some point in that ritual, the pastor asked, what name is given to this child? And you called us by name and know us by name even today. Oh God, may we come into your presence every single day and may we hear your call and claim upon our lives to go into the world, to be your church, to be your disciples, to be those who are willing to be engaged in dangerous mission and ministry to and for the world. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. I would invite you to turn in front of our hymnals to the baptismal covenant. It's found on page 50. I believe it's numbered 4, and it is a reaffirmation of our baptismal covenant today. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift, and it's offered to us without price. Through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. And so on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and do you repent of your sins? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him every single day as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people of all ages, nations, and races. And according to the grace that God gives to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives to the world? And so let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
Is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord of the Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the nations, his glory among all the people. Pour out your Holy Spirit, and by this gift of water, call to our remembrance the grace declared to us in our baptism. For you have washed away our sins. You have clothed us with righteousness throughout our lives, that dying and rising with Christ, we may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Remember your baptism and be thankful. The Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And following along in the ending that is printed in our worship folders, let us rejoice in the faithfulness of our covenant God. We give thanks for all that God has already given us as members of the body of Christ. And in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we will prayer faithfully participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And now may the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. I would invite you at some point after the service or during the singing of this last hymn that you come and touch and experience the water and remember your baptism. Remember God's call and God's claim upon your life today and every day. Amen. Let us stand and sing our closing hymn together. Gracious and loving God, your presence, your Spirit is upon us, marking us, claiming us, and sending us forth into the world to be your church, to be your disciples.
to be messengers of God's love and grace. Send us forth, O God, walking with us, beside us, behind us. For we go in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.